If you will, look with me to Romans chapter 10. And Michael's going to be sharing a little bit about what they're doing in Romania. And he's also going to be encouraging us with this mission that we have been called to. So today, we want to call your attention to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 14 through 18. And he's going to come up right after I get through reading this. And so some of you in this room do not know who these people are sitting right here to my right. And that's okay. So there may be quite a few of you who have never met the Hintons, or maybe today's the first time you've ever seen them. If that's you, raise your hand. If they are new to you, raise it high so I can see it. There you go. There's several. Most of the people here know you guys, so you won't need much of an introduction for them. But the Hintons are with us today. They are missionaries serving with Youth Ministries International in Romania. You guys were here 7 years serving as the youth. How many? Oh, I forgot the half. 7.5 years serving here on staff as the youth pastor here, and before they headed over there. And so for a lot of us here, hey, they were here, they've been here longer than I've been here. So they're part of your lives more than I am a part of your lives. And so you guys know them very well. So he'll probably share a little bit more. But again, so good to have you. And I hope I get all the names right. Michael, of course, and Carter, who has transformed in the last few years here. Right? He has a teenager, that's right. And Carson, and there you go, Holly and Melissa. And so, again, thank you guys for being here. He's going to share more, and then we'll talk a little bit more about them later on. So let's read God's Word together from Romans chapter 10. I want you to hear this. The Bible says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." This is the reading of God's word. Brother, come while not right now and share with us.
Well, how cool is this? Carl, I want to make sure I'm on. All right, we're good. Well, I will not lie to you. There is a lot of emotions and a little nervousness and almost like a Pentecostalish feeling going on this morning in a Baptist church. And I think that's okay, right? There's no rules against that. Hope not. I just want to say to you what a blessing it is to be here with you. Other than to be with friends and family in Chattanooga and Knoxville, there is no place like home than Bethel Baptist Church. This church holds a near and dear special place in our hearts, always has, always will. As Brandon shared, I had the privilege and opportunity to serve as the full-time minister to students from 2009 to 2016. What a privilege, what a blessing that was. I see some students of mine, some babies that have now all grown up, and you make me feel so old, so old. Matter of fact, this blessing started just the other night. I got to hang out with a former student, Christy Hardister, and to see her and her family growing up with children. Oh my goodness, my babies are having babies, and that is a hard thing to grapple with now, but I just wish God's blessings on you guys. It is so good to see you, so good to worship with you this morning. Pastor, I do have to say, when I reached out to you a while back, I was kind of put in a little bit of a quandary because obviously I do want to come and share. I want to talk about what God's doing in Romania, but there's also a part of me that didn't want to come and share because I want to come hear God's word in a language that I understand. That does not happen often where I'm at, so to hear God's word in a language I understand is is a rare blessing. But no, we did want to come and share what God's been doing, what God's been doing around the world. And just to echo your prayer, brother, we've got students that we've poured into at the seminary there that are they're ministering in Serbia and Italy and England and Spain. And the gospel is being preached to the nations right now as we speak. And that is a good thing. And that is why we're here this morning. So just another brief introduction for those of you that don't know us. My name is Michael. My awesome wife of nearly 17 years, we 17 years in August. That's Melissa. My oldest is Carter. He is now 13, so I'm very much in need of a youth pastor, Brandon. You're up. My daughter, Holly, who's just such a joy and a blessing, she is now 11, on the verge of being a teenager. So, Brandon, I need a youth pastor. And then lastly, my little man, Carson, he is 8, and he is full of life and joy, and he is definitely the comedian of our family. And if you spend some time around him, you will quickly figure that out. Just let him get warmed up a little bit, but he comes around. So we were able to serve here about 7.5 years. And then in that, God started to work on mine and Melissa's heart when she and I got married. We always knew that missions was a part of our life. We knew that that was going to happen at some point. We just weren't sure how it was going to play out, how that was going to work out. But when I was 16, my parents divorced. And in the midst of that, God was working on my heart, doing some things. And that's just where I fell in love with the idea of youth ministry, because I wanted to see young people come to know Christ the way I did, the way he helped me heal, the way he got me through some of those circumstances, and then to be able to take that and connect with young people around the world. Because let me tell you, in serving in Romania, there's no such thing as unique sin, okay? Sin is sin. And as I walked the streets of Romania, walking through Bucharest, we start out going to an international church there, and as we'd walk, we'd see hypodermic needles laying in the streets. We see rampant alcoholism, drugs, prostitution, you name it, we see it all over. And we see people that are hurting, and they're dying, and they need what we have, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're trying to accomplish. And I could not do that without my family. I could not do that without my partner. She keeps me going. She keeps me motivated. When I am down and out, she is there to pick me up and to help me out. So I am very, very grateful for my partner. I'm very grateful for the work we're doing in Romania. And I'm excited to share that with you this morning. And believe it or not, I do not want Romania to be the focal point of this morning. I do not want the Hinton family to be the focal point of this morning. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate the love, and I appreciate seeing all your faces. You have no idea what a joy it is to see your faces this morning. But if it's okay with you this morning, can we brag on God a little bit this morning? Can we do that? Can I do that with my Bethel brothers and sisters? Can we brag on God this morning? Let's do that a little bit. I want to pray for us. As we share, as we get into this, and just I want to take a minute just to thank God for everybody in this room. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Bethel Baptist Church. I thank you for Brandon and their leadership here. I thank you for the people and the memories that is remembered in these hallways and in the youth room and in this gym. God, hours of basketball and ultimate frisbee and relationships, God, just what a blessing. And so, God, I just pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, would you be with your word? Would you be with what you're doing here and around the world? God, and I thank you so much for this church and what they mean to us. And so, God, we just give this time to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. So about 3 years ago, my family and I embarked on a journey. It really started in the year of 2015. We were in a little bit of a transition, and a friend of mine, Sam Hughes, who's been serving in Ukraine for over 10 years now, I had the opportunity to take a couple of teams over to Ukraine, and my friend started to say, "Hey, Michael, I got this crazy idea. You know, you love to do youth ministry. You love young people. You want to see young people come to know Christ. I'm like, yeah, I love that. Let's do that. And he's like, I've got this crazy idea. Why don't you come with Youth Ministry International and train youth leaders? I'm going, okay, let me think on that. Let me ponder on that idea. And at that time, our family wasn't quite complete. We were still fully entrenched here, wanted to be here, glad to be here. But then 2013 led another team back to Ukraine. And long story short, that's just where God confirmed what we needed to be doing. And I knew that Youth Ministry International, New Missions was upon us. I knew that embarking was coming. And so fast forward to 2015, I went and met with the executive committee of Youth Ministry International, and they confirmed and appointed us. And then Melissa and I, we hit the fundraising trail, had to raise support in order to do that. And so, you know, I could spend all morning, hours with you guys just bragging about how God has provided for us and how he's been there for us and how he's gotten us there. Just the way people have come through. There's many in this room that have played a part in that. And again, I could just go on hours upon hours about how God has provided. And if there's one challenge that I want to just go ahead and get right off the bat, God is faithful. God is so faithful, and he is so good. And he sees his people through. And I know that we've been going through some challenging times. Hey, we've kept up with the news here. We know it's not been easy. But God is faithful, and he is good, and he is with his people, and he sees us through. I hope you know that this morning. I really do. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, we're all human, so we all have something we're dealing with. But God is faithful, and he is with you, and he has not left you. And if there's anything you take away from this morning, God is with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God incarnate, and he is with us this morning, and he is with you now. And so support raised for about two and a half years. In 2017, God took me and Melissa through basically a year from hell. Is about the only way I can describe it. We lost a dear family member. Most of you know that story. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but we lost Melissa's dad. Then obviously our hearts broke as the news of Mary Keith came along, and that broke our hearts. And then in that summer, our cars got broken into not once but twice. That was fun. And then my mom had to have a couple of emergency surgeries on her colon. And then we embarked on we went to Colorado to do MTI, which was Missions Cross-Cultural Training. And then in February of 2018, we bought plane tickets. And I got to tell you, there's nothing like sitting at a computer screen buying one-way tickets to another country. That is a very surreal feeling. I can't even explain to you what that's like, but I remember when we'd finished up some support appointments, and Melissa was tallying our final numbers, said, hey, Michael, you need to come here and look at this. Not only have we raised our support, but we're over. We had no idea. And so I was able to call YMI. I was able to call Brandon and say, hey, we get to go. We're out of here. And the surreal moment was buying a one-way plane ticket to a foreign country. And I sat there at that computer for probably, what, Melissa, 5 or 10 minutes before I could hit okay. Because I'm like, this is real now. This is going to happen. My family and I, we're going to put our life into 28 totes, which is what it came down to, 28 totes, 28 pieces of luggage, some hand luggage, and our heinies were on an airplane. And so just what a journey that God has brought us on, brought us through. And so, again, I want to brag on God this morning. I just want to brag on God this morning. And so that was a little bit of our journey just to get there. And so this morning, I just want to emphasize remembering the call, remembering why we serve, what we do, why we do what we do, the duty that we have to God, the service that we have to him. And I just want to look at these passages. These are why we do what we do. And in our courses, what we do with Youth Ministry International is simply this. We do formal and informal youth ministry training. So we partner with local Bible colleges and seminaries, and we do formal youth ministry classes, plus we do conferences around the countries, around Europe. And these two passages are our base passage. This is the core of what we teach and why we do what we do. So Matthew 28:19-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And Ephesians 4:11-13, he says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So basically, what we do is we invest in leaders that then turn around and invest in young people in Romania. We feel like the best way to reach the youth of Romania, Europe, wherever we are, is through indigenous youth ministry training. So we train the trainers. So if you'll go on to the next slide. And so, remembering the why, did you know that around the world there are approximately 2.3 billion unreached young people around the world? And this is in Europe, Africa, Asia. There are roughly 2.3 billion unreached youth, young people under the age of 30 that have never heard of Jesus Christ. That's what's going on around the world. Around 50% of the world's population will be under the age of 29 by the year 2025. And a vast majority of decisions are made for Christ before the age of 21. Just a quick show of hands, how many of you came to know Christ before the age of 21? Look around this room. See these hands? This is why we do what we do at Youth Ministry International, because a vast majority of people will come to know Christ before the age of 21. And so basically this, we go where they're biting. The old fishing term, you go fishing, you want to go fishing somewhere where the fish are biting. You do not want to go to a stale, stagnant pond. You want to go where the fish are hitting. Well, before the age of 21, that's where they're biting. And so that's just why my heart, I love youth ministry so much, because that's just where most people come to know Christ for the first time. And so now here's why we are doing this in countries around the world. Over 90% of the world's formally trained youth leaders are here in the United States, ministering to only about 2% of the world's total youth. So that means 98% of these people under 29 reside outside our borders. Somebody's got to go get them. Somebody's got to take the gospel to them. And so in Romania, we have a population of approximately 20 million, with approximately 5 to 6 million of those under the age of 30. So I want you just to think about these numbers. And I know every mission report has its numbers. We got to give you the numbers. It's what we do. But I want you just to think on this and why we have to go into the nations, why we have to go and take the gospel to the people. And especially as we read the Great Commission, you read the Bible is all about us going to them. You got to remember, we, because of sin, we are cut off from God. We are not naturally going to come to God. We have to take it to them, which means we have to live it out in our lives, and we have to open our mouths, which is a lot about the passage that I want to share with later here, Brandon. It's about opening our mouths and sharing the love of Christ, the good news, with those around us. So this is why I do what I do. And so our mission is simply this. Our mission is to evangelize and disciple the world's youth through the local church, go ahead, Miss Becky, by training the trainers of indigenous youth leaders. So we want to pour in to national youth leaders. And so that's what I spend my time doing. And now we're going to go into the how of what we do. Go ahead, Miss Becky. So the first thing I want to touch on here is language and adjustment. You don't just move into a foreign country and get to work. I wish it was that simple. Believe you me, I wish it was that simple. But when we took off, our organization mandates that we take the first year just to adjust and learn language. And so God blessed us with some really awesome language tutors. One here you're going to meet, this is Mr. Vic. We call him Domnul Vic. Mr. Vic, he has spent the last two, three years with us. And so he will come into our home and he'll do multiple activities. You see Carson up here, he's getting cooking lessons in Romanian. That went well. We also do a variety of games and activities with pictures and things, drawing things, and pointing and matching. And so these are just a few of the ways that we learn language. We also have another language tutor. Her name is Miss Delia, and she is a godsend because she is the one that helps us with our grammar. She's the one that helps us put the structure of the language together so that we don't sound totally foolish when we open our mouths, because that can happen. And then over here, these pictures on the right, if you want an idea of what it's like to live overseas, these pictures kind of formulate what happens to me and Melissa on a daily basis. And I want to direct your attention to this photo right up here in the top right. That is a picture of sour cream, and you're probably going, why in the world are they showing us a picture of sour cream? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Our first couple weeks or so, we were there. Melissa had gone to the store, and she'd been gone a while, like a couple of hours, and I'm going, where is she? I've lost my wife in Romania. This is not a good start. I do not need to be a single dad in Bucharest, Romania. So what has happened to her? And so I call her, and I'm going, where are you? What happened to you? Where have you been? And so she sends me this picture. All Melissa was trying to do was look for some sour cream. And what she found was a section of about 50 different types of sour cream, because Romanians love them some sour cream, by the way. And so she's standing here at this aisle looking for sour cream. It's all in Romanian. We don't know a word of Romanian at this point. And so she's having to go down the grocery aisle with Google Translate. And so she spent 30 minutes just trying to figure out which sour cream to buy. So you might get the idea of why it took her 3 hours at the grocery store. But so she had to do this with every little item. And when you go to buy groceries, especially in certain stores, when you go to buy vegetables, you don't just go pick up your vegetables and go through the checkout line. No, you actually have to go to the vegetable section. You have to put it in a little bag, put a little sticker on it. They have to check you out in the vegetable aisle, and then you go make that purchase. So she, just like a typical American, picked up her vegetables, went to the checkout aisle, said, no, you've got to go back. And this is all in Romanian. She's not understanding a word of this. So long story short, it took her 3 hours at the store. And these are the reasons why. These are just some of the things that we go through. And so, and then down here, this is just traffic. And Bucharest is known for traffic. Matter of fact, there was just a report that came out that of all the cities in the world that have a traffic problem, you would think of New York, Los Angeles, Paris, London. You think of all these big cities, right? It's probably where you go. Did you know that Bucharest, by the measurement of time lost in traffic, has the worst traffic in the world? Did you know that? I didn't know that, but I found it out. Because anywhere we go in that city, just to go 5 miles is probably a 45 to 50 minute drive. It's the size of the city is just too small for the density of the number of cars that we have. Just one of the craziest things we've ever seen. And to drive in this city, I don't know if you've ever watched a Fast and the Furious movie, but I have lived that life. There are days that I feel like Dominic Toretto on a heist, because we are ducking and dodging and weaving and moving, just trying to not get killed, to be honest with you. But this city, as it's come out of communism, they're trying to catch up with their infrastructure, and they're a little bit behind. So there's not just some of the natural infrastructure that we're used to. Parking garages, parking lots. To find parking in Bucharest is a rare commodity. So if you come over to visit, don't be surprised if we spend very little time in the car. We'll be spending a lot of time on a metro. We'll not be spending a lot of time in the car for reasons just like that. So a part of our adjustment was learning how to use public transportation. Getting on metros, getting on buses, getting on tramvis. Uber became a big friend of ours, because I would rather let the Romanians take me through that rather than me doing it. As it would happen, we did have to buy a car while we were there, because a lot of my job requires me to be out of the city, and there are just some places that you cannot get to in Romania by public. And so these two pictures right here just kind of sum up our life in Romania, just trying to figure things out, trying to figure out how to live, how to adjust. And then up here, this picture up here, this is a really cool thing in Romania. This is up in a city called Satu Mare, and this is what they call the happy graveyard. And it's, I know that sounds very weird, but And each and every little tombstone, they're very colorful. They're colored with blues and yellows. And on every tombstone, you have a story of each person's life, what they did, where they grew up, how old they were. And so you get the full story of each person that's passed on. And they do music, and they've got flowers, and it's the happiest graveyard you'll ever visit. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. But it's just a part of the culture there. I think it's an Orthodox church. And that's another thing. Romania is heavily influenced by the Orthodox church. And the problems that that causes is that there's many Romanians that go through life believing that the only way to get to God is through the church and through a priest. They don't know that it's through Christ alone, that we have the great high priest. But in conversing and spending time with them, we spend a lot of time peeling back the layers and working through that. And a lot of the young people that we've ministered to come out of Orthodox backgrounds. And so it's very interesting trying to communicate the gospel with a diluted gospel at best. And so that's a lot of the challenge that we face there. So this is a welcome to our life, welcome to how we live there. So like I said, the first year was all language and adjustment. And then in the second year, I got to get to work. So here's the primary part of my job is formal seminary classes. So right down here is a group of students that I'm very, very partial to. These are my third year guys. The tall guy there in the middle, his name is Paon. Guy next to him is Alex. And the guy, little guy down there is Gabi. I met them when they were in their first year. I taught an English class for them. And now they're in their third year. I've walked through a couple classes, an intro to youth ministry class, a youth evangelism class, a youth discipleship class, and now a ministry to troubled youth class. And so that was my first time teaching and being with those guys. Up here, I had a chance to go and travel to Ukraine and teach a class there. I taught a class on youth programming. And believe it or not, the class was all girls, eight girls. That is a weird thing. But it was all ladies. It's just the way it worked out. But some of you might recognize Sam Hughes up there and Misha Vakhtoman. Michelle Carroll, I know you know who these guys are. And so I've had the opportunity to teach classes abroad and in Romania. And then right down here, who has spent a lot of time on Zoom? Anyone spent a lot of time on Zoom? I've spent more hours on Zoom calls than is humanly necessary. But as you know, in 2019 into 2020, we got hit with COVID, and that's been a lot of fun. So I've spent a lot of hours on Zoom calls and classes and meetings. And so this right here is the crux. It's the core of what we do, our formal training. These guys are college students, years 1 through 4. And so when they come out, they will have a four-year degree with 9 courses of youth ministry training, going from an intro to a professional orientation class. We teach them on evangelism, discipleship, counseling, all kinds of things. So we invest in these guys for 4 years, and then they go out and serve in local churches, ministries, things like that. And I'm really proud to report, not only do they minister in Romania, but I've got a second-year guy that I'm personally mentoring. He lives in Serbia, and he's doing youth ministry in Serbia. My teammate and I got a chance to teach a class up in Sibiu, which is north of Bucharest. And we have a guy, his name is Teofil. He's doing youth ministry in Italy right now. Brandon, how you feel about youth ministry in Italy? That sound good? Yeah, there you go. So we've got students that are literally preaching the gospel and discipling young people all over Europe, all in Asia. What a blessing and what a treasure it is to be a part of this. So these are our guys. These are who we're investing in, and I would encourage you, please pray for these guys. Pray for them as they embark on ministry. These are young guys. They're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. They're pups right now, and they've got a lot of lessons to learn, a lot of challenges ahead as they figure this out. But we do not want them to leave without some good foundational training. So this is the crux of what we do. And so this is our formal seminary training classes. So, and we'll move on. And then not only do we do formal, but we also do informal. We do workshops and conferences all over the country. And so this right here, down here in the bottom, my teammate and I, and my teammate is actually the tall guy right here in the middle of this photo. His name is Phil Rice. We've been investing in an area called Karin Sebesh, just north of Cebu. And we've been able to do two informal conferences called Womany Day and Creditor Day, based on 2 Timothy 2:2, men of faith, men of courage. And so these are local youth leaders that just want some base training in youth ministry. So we go up to Karin Sebesh and we've taught some introductory stuff, some youth culture stuff. And it's just been a blessing to be up here. And this picture down here at the bottom, my first outing in this is I had a chance to do a workshop on programming in youth ministry. So what these guys here are doing, they're actually doing some brainstorming. We did a brainstorming activity where we identified a graphic of young people, skaters or hippies or whatever you want to call them these days. And so they identified a group of lost young people that they wanted to reach out to. And so now they're just sitting around brainstorming activities and ideas to go and reach those lost young people. And so out of that, they came up with ideas of movie nights, handing out water in parks, doing this, doing that. And so we just brainstormed. We came up with all these ideas, and they're writing these activities and ideas and going back and implementing them. And so, and then out of that came this opportunity over here on the right. We got to go back. This was about 2 weeks before we left. We went back and did another workshop because what Phil and I are working on is we want to work on a network, a youth network where youth pastors in the area can come and get youth ministry training. They know where there are other youth leaders in the area so that they can exchange information and ideas. And that's a very difficult thing to accomplish in Romania because there's definitely a fortress mentality that I don't want to share with another youth group because I might lose my kids there or these kids might come here. And so what we did is we got 12 to 15 pastors and youth pastors in a room, and they just did an analysis of their youth ministries. They broke down the demographics. They came with questions. And so we just spent time discussing challenges and things that they're dealing with. And the great thing about that activity was that Phil and I did maybe 5% of the talking. It was all them in a room connecting and networking and sharing ideas and helping each other. And so, don't get me wrong, we want to see young people come to Christ, but before you can get there, you've got to do this. You've got to do the groundwork. And so these are just some groups of people that we're investing in, pouring in. And then lastly, I want to point out my man Sebastian up here. This is Sebastian Crăciun, which is actually very similar to the Romanian word for Christmas, which is Crăciun. So I call him Sebastian Christmas. So we mess with him a little bit. But this is Sebastian. He currently lives in Serbia. He is Romanian. He lives in a Romanian village just across the border in Serbia. And this is a guy that I'm personally getting to mentor. I spend one-on-one time with him. He and I've had about 4 or 5 meetings, and this guy is he is all about Jesus. All he wants to do is see generations won for Christ. He does not care what it costs him. He does not care where he has to go to do it. He just wants to go do it. He's kind of like a dog chasing a car. I don't know that he know what to do with it when he caught it, but he wants to chase it. And I'm so proud of this guy. I love this guy. And so he and I have spent multiple hours on WhatsApp calls, just talking through youth ministry, talking through strategies, vision, all kinds of things. So if you wouldn't mind to pray for Sebastian. But this is, for me personally, this is a role that my teammates want me to develop. I went to seminary and my degree's in biblical counseling. So we're trying to think of a network where we pastor the pastors. And we counsel youth pastors and help them and encourage them and allow them to be invested in and one-on-one. So part of my job is not only to do the conferences and things, but I'm working on specific one-on-one ministries with Romanian youth leaders. So that's another part where my job has expanded. And Sebi here, Sebastian, is my first guinea pig, so to speak. So this is just an idea of what we do on the informal side. Up here at the top, we actually had a chance to just go do some youth ministry, just to hang out with a local youth group. And my teammate did an awesome lesson on the Holy Spirit, because we were with a group of young people. They said, hey, we want to go deeper. We want to go deeper. Can you teach us some deeper things of God? And so my teammate Phil led them through a really cool study on the Holy Spirit. So every now and again, we get to go back to our roots and just go hang out with young people. Share the Christ with them, love on them, play with them, hang out with them. Just truly a blessing and a lot of fun. Got to be honest with you, a lot of fun. And so this is the first thing I wanted to emphasize was the why, the biblical, the scriptural mandates. And this is the how, because here's the thing. When we serve God, what happens is too many times we get bogged down with the how, but we forget the why. And the why is simply because Christ has come, and Christ is worth it, and He is better, and He is bigger, badder, and better. It's the best way I can describe Him. And so when we keep our eye on the why, we can figure out the how. But if we can keep the why in the focus, we can work out the how. The how can change, but we got to keep the why. We got to keep the why in front of us. So the why and the how. So this is how we do what we do. So we'll go on to the next thing. And so the workshop I was mentioning to you, the networking, this is just an example of what we did. If you remember, I mentioned a young man named Paon. This is his youth group, and he did basically a profile on his youth group. You have adolescents between the ages of 14 and 17, adolescents between 18 and 30. He has a group of about 10 people in a church with 110 members. And so what he did here is he brought three questions that he wanted to discuss. And I know that you don't know Romanian, so I'll help you out with this. But question number one is, you want to say, how can we attract teenagers? Number two is, how do we organize events? What are ideas for events? And then number three is, what do I do when I don't see results? How do I analyze my youth ministry? How do I get better at it? So he came with just some really awesome questions, like, how do I do this better? How do I attract young people? How do I organize my events well? What do I do when I don't see the results that I'm expecting to see? And so we spent just 2 hours, just Romanians and Americans, just spending time with this guy. And so we had about 10 or 12 that did this same thing. They've give us an analysis of their youth ministry, bring questions to the table, and then we just spend an hour and a half just being with those guys, talking to those guys, helping them out. So this is just an idea of what we do, what we're trying to accomplish. And then out of this event, I have to share what a blessing it was, because by nature, I'm more of an introvert, one-on-one kind of person. And so I enjoy speaking and sharing and doing those things, but it doesn't come natural to me. But out of this, I wound up getting to spend time with two youth leaders. And just hearing them pour out their heart. One guy, his name was Soren, depending on who you want to pronounce his name. But he was a young youth leader. They'd basically just been thrust in the position. He was in a church. He said, hey, we need someone to do youth ministry. You're going to go do it. This guy has no clue what he's doing. But he wants to do it. And not only that, he's about a 20-mile drive from the church that he serves in. So he drives from outside the city into a city called Timișoara. He drives about 15 to 17 miles just to come do youth ministry with these local young people. But he came to this thing because, like, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to start, let alone, you know, do I have a clue what I'm doing? So I got a chance just to be at a lunch table with him and spend time with him and encourage him and give him ideas. And we're just able to give each other some feedback. So really, really, really fun. And then the guy that organized these events, his name is Doru Patruța. Awesome guy. If you guys ever come over, I'm going to take you and introduce you to Doru, because the guy just eats, sleeps, and breathes youth ministry in Romania, and he's our key contact. But he and I got to spend time in a car, and he's, you know, we just shared some common stories of students that you struggle with, and you want to see them get it, but sometimes you see them connect with Christ, and sometimes you see them walk away from Christ. And he was sharing with me about a student that he's struggling with, and some students that I struggled with, and we just, in a car on a long drive up a mountain, just pouring our guts out to each other, just connecting with each other. And so, and it's just the the part of my job that I really love, just connecting with these youth leaders, hearing their hearts, hearing their minds, and then getting to be there for them. So what a blessing, and a lot of fun that it is. So just to give you an idea of what we've been working on, what we've been going through, and what's to come. So that's what we do. So, Miss Becky. And so now, I know that we in America, we love our numbers, we want to talk results, and we want to see what God's doing. But in our organization, we're doing what's called mapping the movement, trying to figure out what God is doing through youth ministry in Romania, around the world. And so I just want to go over just some basic numbers with you. Over the last few years, since 2019, we have 700 students involved with youth groups, with Why Am I Train leaders. We've had approximately 25 South Asians reported. We actually believe it's more than that. As you might imagine, COVID threw a monkey wrench in a lot of our plans, so some of our reporting was a little different this year. We've invested in over 450 workers through formal and informal training. One of the blessings of COVID, we were actually able to get more people into some of our conferences through online. As a matter of fact, we have a national youth workers conference that's coming up in May. But last year in May, we did a conference based on the book Faith for the Exiles. I recommend you two gentlemen find that book, Faith for the Exiles, based from the guys that do the Barna Group. And the keynote speaker was a guy named Mark Matlock, who helped write the book. And the book is about being exiles in a digital Babylon. And they had actually wrote a book talking about why young people were leaving the church. This was actually about a book, why young people are staying in the church. And there's roughly 4 million young people in the United States that are staying in church, and the reasons why they stayed, and how we can do those things. So definitely recommend picking up that book. So with our National Youth Workers Conference last year, we had over 300 people participate and get online and hang out with us and go through that conference. We have another one coming up this May. And so, like I said, we do formal, informal, and these informal conferences are a great way for us to connect with workers throughout the country. Now, worldwide, we've invested in 34,797 workers trained through formal and informal programs, 773,643 students involved in youth groups with trained leaders, and I know hopefully you're praising God with me at this number down here at the bottom. 451,312 young people under the age of 30 have come to know Christ for the first time. That's what we do. And that's all I care about. I love being here, love being with people. But that's all I care about, is these young people come to know Christ for the first time and being discipled. And not just that they're being saved, but they're with a formal trained youth worker that knows how to disciple them and train them up and build them up, so that they can become leaders. And what ends up happening is these guys in these youth groups that get poured into, invested in, they end up back in our seminaries going on to be youth leaders and pastors themselves. So we're just trying to create disciple cycles where they become leaders and they invest and they pour in, and then we win more young people for Christ that way. So this is just kind of a brief overview of what we've been doing. Praise God for it. God is working in the nations. I know that I know that COVID has caused some problems, and I understand that. But at the same time, God is so much bigger than COVID. God is so much bigger than this craziness that we've been seeing. And I'm here to report to you, God is still moving. God has not stopped. COVID, pandemics, governments, they cannot contain him. You cannot put him in a box. He doesn't work that way. Our God breaks the boxes. He breaks the barriers. And that's what he's doing all over the world right now. And I even know, I have to be careful how to say this, but right now I have some dear colleagues in Asia. They're going through it right now, and I encourage you to pray for Asia. Asia has ramped up their persecution of believers. And right now I have some dear colleagues that are under the gun, let's put it that way. Probably going to end up in prison, maybe even worse. But that's the reports we're getting. But I will tell you this, what they've also reported, they're expecting God to show up. When the persecution ramps up, that's when they expect God to show out, and they are not wavering. And that's what I'm here to report. There are people walking with Christ right now that are coming to know Christ. These young people are coming to know Christ in places where it's dangerous for them to know Him, but they are holding fast to Him, and they are not quitting on Him. And so I know that these days and these times are challenging, but we cannot turn our back on our Jesus. We can't do it. He is too good, and He is too faithful. So if you take nothing away, just know that God is still moving, and He has not given up on us. He has not left us. He's still here with us, and He's still moving, and He's still working. And so I just want you to be encouraged with that this morning. And lastly, real briefly, I just want to share just a brief challenge out of God's Word. Because I don't want the focus to be on me. I don't want it to be the focus to be on Romania. I want the focus to be on what God's doing in our lives. And so Brandon read the passage for me, and I just want to remind us of a couple things this morning. You know, I know that the pandemic has taken over our lives here lately, and you know, and God's been working on this thought with me that, you know, if you think about it, we've created good little COVID disciples here lately. We speak a whole new language of flattening the curve and social distancing and masking and vaccines and Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson. Some of the stuff I never even heard of before until this pandemic hit. But we speak this new language now, and we're passionate about it, and we talk about it. We're all about protecting ourselves from COVID and loving our neighbors, and I'm all for that. And this virus with a 1% death rate, I mean, people are losing their minds over this. And I don't belittle it. I take it just as seriously as anyone else does. I mean, this thing has killed over 3 million people worldwide. And it is a big deal. But we've created good little COVID disciples. And so God has been just wrestling with me on this thought. But what would happen if we took all this time that we invest in reading about COVID and government and these things, and we start investing it in the Bible, start investing in the good news? What would happen if we invested less time in social media news and nightly news, and we started investing more in the good news? What would happen to our churches, to our families, to our communities, if we put half as much effort as we put into COVID, if we put it into the gospel and the people and our families and the communities around us? What would happen? I think it would revolutionize us. I think it would turn our worlds upside down. I think we wouldn't even recognize our communities. We wouldn't even recognize our churches. We wouldn't even recognize ourselves. So as we think about this, I just want to challenge us from Romans chapter 10. And in verse 15 there, it talks about being a message bearer, a bearer of good news. And so think about what that means is it's someone that comes and clearly articulates the gospel, spreads the gospel, shares the gospel. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're all called to be pastors or missionaries. It's not necessarily everyone's role to go to Romania. That just happens to be the role that God's called me to. But with that being said, all of us have a responsibility. We have a role to play. We have a part to play. So my encouragement to you this morning is get with these two guys up here and find out where you plug in. Find out a part you can play. Believe me, we need you on the front lines. I need you to get in this fight. There are people around us that absolutely have what you have, and His name is Christ. You are a message bearer. You are a representative. You are an ambassador. And the Bible tells us in Corinthians, whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. It literally means that our lives are to ooze Jesus. Out of every part of us, from the way we eat, the way we drink. Did you ever think that drinking a cup of OJ, you could do that to the glory of God? The way you eat breakfast, the way you conduct your family, the way we are as fathers and husbands and mothers and wives and children, all of that is meant to be to the glory of God. Jesus is literally to come out of every facet of our lives down to the smallest detail. That's what it means to be a representative. That's what it means to be an ambassador. It means we represent Him to the nations, and that's simply my job, is to represent Him to the nations. And guess what? That's your job too. To represent Him to the nations, to the people that you come in contact with. You have a circle of influence, go influence. The Bible has called you to go be salt and light, which means you're called to be an influencer, not to be influenced. That's what we do. And so remember, you are an ambassador. You are a representative. You represent the King on high. That's what you've been called to do. And I'm telling you, go represent. Go represent. Don't worry, you're not going to win any popularity contest. Jesus isn't going to bring you a bunch of friends and buddies. That ain't going to work that way. He told us that we would be hated. He told us that in this world that we would have trouble. He told us that we would have ups and downs and highs and lows. We knew that. Go represent anyway. This world is going to die and pass away. This world is done. We know where we're headed. We know that He's coming back. We know that eternity's coming. Go represent. Who cares what this world thinks? Go be like Jesus. Let Him run your life. Let Him be in charge of your life. Let Him see what He does. Go find out what He's going to do for you, how He's going to work in you and through you and to you, and the people that you're going to impact. You have no idea the people He's going to bring in your life and the things that you're going to do and accomplish. Second thing I want to remind us of, remember your message. Remember that you're an ambassador, but remember your message. Your message is the gospel message. The gospel literally means good news. And have you thought about this? All this talk about COVID and diseases and pandemics, but have you ever stopped to think about why COVID is a problem to begin with? Do you ever think about why COVID or cancer or car accident, do you understand why we have those things? It's because of sin. It's because we're fallen. In the garden, God told us what would happen, and it makes me laugh. We get mad at Him over this stuff. He told us in Genesis what was going to happen. He told us you're going to be cursed. He told us you're going to fall. He told us that we're cut off. He told us that sin would kill us physically and spiritually. He told us that we're cut off. So the gospel helps us understand the bad news. And so here we are. Yes, we have a pandemic. And yes, we have a disease that's killed 3 million worldwide. But what about a disease that literally kills everything that it touches? That's called sin. Everything that sin touches, it kills. Whether you and I like it or not, you and I have a destination with a dirt nap. That is destiny. And I wish it wasn't the case, but that is where we're headed. Unless Christ comes back. I hope He does. I really do. But until that time happens, we have an appointment with death. The Bible tells us it's appointed one time for man to die, and then we're with Christ. But here we are. We are losing our mind over a virus with a 1% death rate, but we say nothing about the virus with a 100% kill rate. And there are people out there that need to know that. And here's the thing. All these talk about vaccines, look, praise God for them. I hope they work. I truly do. But you know what? You and I also possess a vaccine. And guess what? It's not like a Moderna or a Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson with 66% or 90%. No. We possess a vaccine with a 100% efficacy rate. It cures the problem. And so what happens is we get hit with this vaccine. His name is the Holy Spirit. He comes in and He regenerates and renews the image of God in us. And so what that means is you and I can now, we start to be able to fight back. We can say no to the fleshly passions and desires that Christ was paying for. We now can fight back. Praise God. We get to fight back now. We get to say no. But the thing is, that's not even the final destination. Eventually, we'll get rid of this fleshly stuff. We won't be able to sin at all. That's what the gospel is. It means that we have fallen. We've been disconnected, cut off. Now we're reconnected. Christ comes in, cuts on the light bulb, and now we can fight back. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. We have a message. We have a message that the people desperately need to hear. And that's called the gospel. It literally means good news. And good news means bad news. We have to talk about the bad news to get to the good news. The good news doesn't mean much without the bad news. The bad news helps us understand why we need that good news. And now we have eternity to look forward to. And our job, ladies and gentlemen, we're not out here to win popularity contests. Our job is to get as many of them to heaven as we can. If you hear nothing else from me, that's all I care about. I want to get as many of these young people, these 2.3 billion, I want to get as many of them to heaven as I possibly can, till the day I die. Will you join me? Will you play your part? Will you do your role right here in Greenbrier, Tennessee? Will you play your part? I need you. I need you. We need each other. And the last thing I just want to remind us of, remember you're an ambassador. Remember you're a message bearer. Remember your message. Remember the lost. Remember the lost. Have you ever stopped and thought about what it means to be lost? Think about your worst scenario in being lost. Maybe you're trapped in a desert somewhere, or lost out at sea somewhere, or lost on a highway. Think about what it means to be lost and how you would feel. And that you know the only way that you're getting out of that is if someone comes and saves you. You are not getting out of that alive unless there's a Savior. You get the point? People need a Savior. You're not getting out of the sin problem without a Savior. We are lost. And in our home, one of our favorite movies to watch are the Lord of the Ring movies, the Frodo Baggins and Bilbo and those guys. But there's a scene in that really stands out to me, and it's when Frodo and Sam, they meet Gollum, the creature Gollum. And if you remember, the creature Gollum had that evil ring, and it just corrupted him and warped him and messed him up. And so one of my favorite scenes is when Frodo meets Gollum, and he looks at Gollum and goes, I see what the ring has done to him and what it's still doing to him, and I want to help him if I can. When I look around our world, when I look in Romania, when I look in America and the things that we're dealing with, I see what sin is doing to us, what it's done to us, and what it's still doing to us. It is still killing us. It's still warping us. It's still condemning us and cutting us off from God. That's what it does. That's the nature of what it does. It's meant to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what sin does. And that's what it means to be lost. He looks at Gollum and goes, Gollum is lost, and I want to help him if I can. And when I walk down the streets of Bucharest and I see the drunkenness and I see the drugs and I see the hypodermic needles laying on the ground, and I walk around and I see young people stoned and high and drunk, I see around the city, you see prostitution all over the city, young girls well under the age of 25. I want to help them if I can. They're no better than God. I'm no better than Gollum. Remember the lost. Remember that you're an ambassador. Remember that you have a message. You have the vaccine. You have the cure. Remember the lost and where they are. And remember where you were. You were just like them. And that's what this passage is all about. They need the good news. The lost needs the good news. And so, this morning, I just want to leave you with some questions to think about. Just something to think about this week. As you go about your week. First question, what is God preparing me for? What is God doing in me? What is God asking of me? What does He want me to do? What is God doing in your life? What is God doing in my life? Another question, what tools has He given you? God has equipped you for something. You can do something. God has not called you and saved you to put you over here in some chairs and put you on some aisles useless. No, God wants you in the game. He doesn't need you in the game, but He wants you. He's calling us out. And believe me, I know that the waters are a little murky right now. I know that the seas are a little choppy. But God is calling us, hey, come out here on the waters with me. Walk out here with me. I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I know who you are. I created you. I know where you fit in. I know how to use you. Will you simply come out here with me? Will you trust me enough to walk out of here on these crazy waters, and will you trust me? So what is God doing in your life? How has He equipped you? And then lastly, God, how are you helping me to develop these gifts and these abilities? The people that you've put me around in this church, you've got two ministers of the gospel right here that want to see those talents and those abilities come out. Why? All to the glory of God. So that you jump in. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're in the cradle or have an appointment with death. I don't care. God can use you no matter your age. He's not limited. Do not let age be an excuse or a hindrance. Get with these guys and jump in. That is my encouragement to us as a church. Jump in. But I want you to ponder on these questions. God, what are you doing in my life? How have you equipped me? How are you helping me to develop these talents and abilities? We'll see what happens. This is our God. This is what he does. He's still moving and working around the world. He's still moving and working in this community. And sometimes just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. God says his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. He has a higher goal. He has a higher purpose and he has a higher plan. And he's calling me and you to be a part of it. What an awesome God we serve. So like I said this morning, I just want to brag on him. He's using a 5-foot-nothing white boy from Knoxville, Tennessee to go to Romania. There, I promise you, there is nothing special standing up here. Of that, I can assure you. If you want more evidence, go talk to my wife. She can give you a laundry list of things that I mess up every day. There's nothing special standing up here. But what is special is the God that's in me that I serve. He's what's special. He's what makes all the difference in the world. And so this morning, I just wanted to take an opportunity to brag on him. And I just wanted to, as I close up here, I just want to thank Bethel Baptist Church for their prayers, their support. There's many of you that I've heard from that have reached out to us. You have no idea what it means to know that we're on your minds and that you guys are constantly on our minds. You're never very far from our heart. That'll never happen. So as we close up this morning, let's brag on our God. Let's give God the glory. Let's think on these passages, on his word, and let's find ways to jump in. Let's find ways to get busy. And let's go get those people to heaven. What do you think? You guys with me? Let's do it. I want to pray for you, and then Pastor, I'm going to turn it back over to you. God, I thank you so much for Bethel Baptist Church. I praise you for what you're doing here, what's going on here. I thank you for Brandon. I thank you for deacons and Sunday school teachers and people that are here that are leading and pouring and investing. God, I pray that this church would be known for making disciples. I pray that this church would be nothing but a disciple cycle factory machine, God. And I pray, God, that we would get out of our own ways, God, that we would remember the why. That we would remember the Christ. And God, and as we remember the why, we'll work out the how. But God, help us to stay focused on the why. And so, Lord, help us to jump in. Help us to find somewhere we can serve. Help us to find somewhere that we can share Christ with somebody. Help us to find somebody to invest in, to pour into. And, Lord, help us to create more disciples. God, I thank you for this church. God, what a blessing just to see familiar faces and to get hugs and to love and to be loved on. God, thank you for this opportunity, this privilege. So, God, I just thank you for Bethel Baptist Church and the relationship we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.